Father God, thank you for your great love for us that we've been singing about already tonight. Lord, we thank you that you've revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this Trinity Sunday, we thank you for Steve and his gift of teaching and preaching, for the call on his life to move into ordained ministry. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in and through him at this time. Pray that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit to speak your word to us. And I pray for myself and for each one of us that we would hear your voice clearly as you speak to us through your servant, Steve. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. Evening, everybody. Am I switched on? Can you hear me? Good. That's a good start. Excellent. First of all, I want to say thank you to those of you who have noticed me sporting my new haircut. Some of you have been very complimentary. Some of you haven't been so complimentary. And here's the thing. I went to the new Turkish barbers, and I said, I'd just like a trim. And this is what happened. And this is 2 weeks in. You should have seen it when I was in. So I had a little bit of a disagreement with them about that. I've also had a little bit of a disagreement with my daughter this morning about whether or not I should be wearing and sporting such a shirt as this. But more about that later on. But I was also conscious about some of the bigger disagreements that are going on in our world at the moment with President Trump and Korea. Yeah, some pretty big stuff going on. So I wondered if tonight, what about if there is something about Trinity Sunday and the Trinity that is so powerful that it can speak into those small disagreements and some of those bigger disagreements that we see around the world. That'll be worth investigating, wouldn't it? So I want us to think about the power of a number. I want to think about the power of the number one. That's what we're going to be looking at this evening. But we're also going to be looking at two other words. We're going to be looking at love and unity. But it starts with one. So Helen's going to come and give us a reading from John chapter 17 and see if you can work out or note how many times the word one appears in this reading.
So, if you're following in your church Bibles, page 1085, it's John 17, from verse 20 to verse 23. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me.
Thank you. Did you see that? Anybody keep up with it? How many ones were there? Three. Good. Yeah, good, you were listening. Good. And you saw the other words there, love and unity. So those of you of a particular age persuasion, I've come up with a little hashtag this evening. You might have seen it on the slide that comes up. Hashtag lunity. So if any of you are into Instagram or whatever, you might want to text this. But also, it's such a crazy, ridiculous word that I thought, if nothing else, you're going to go away from this evening thinking about this, a combination of love, oneness, and unity. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Okay? You're with me so far? So oneness, love, oneness, unity in the Trinity, what does that teach us as a church? Okay. So let's have a think about this passage that we've been looking at here this evening, that Jesus is praying the day before his death. So it's quite an important passage, and people say this is like the Lord's Prayer. This is what he prays for us, and he's praying for himself, he prays for the disciples, and he prays for us. If you're following in your Bibles, page 1085, we're going to look at verse 20. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. What he says is, I pray for not them alone. He's praying not just for the disciples, but he's actually praying for you and me who believe through the disciples and the apostles' message. That what we read in the Bible, written by them, Jesus is praying that we will believe. Isn't that amazing? Even all these centuries on. You see, I used to think, I don't know about you, that unity meant coming together under one denomination. Maybe I was a little bit naive. Because if you look around in our world today, they reckon there's about 36,000 different Christian denominations. So that's not going to happen anytime soon, is it? The different denominations around things like baptism, about emphasis on preaching, about the emphasis on communion, or the emphasis on hymns over singing, over contemporary songs, or all sorts of things. But I wonder actually if God is not bothered about the number of denominations there are in the world. You might think, whoa. Because I don't think he's bothered about the way we sing or necessarily the way we baptize. But I think it breaks his heart when those aspects become the main thing about why we meet together. If we get hung up on all those things. Because what Jesus is saying and what he's praying for is that our unity is built around a message. And you might wonder what that message is. And I think Paul summarizes it really well for us in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day rose again according to the scriptures." Amen. That's something to unite about, isn't it? And that's the essentials of the gospel. That when we accept and believe that Jesus died for us, died for me, and died for you, and rose again on the cross, we're united to God. His death on the cross united us to God. But you see, for me, the unity is not just in the message of Jesus dying on the cross. This passage and this prayer that Jesus has says there's more to it than that. The unity we have is linked to the oneness of the Trinity, the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you want to look at verse 21 with me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See, here's the thing. The night before Jesus dies, he's praying for himself, for his disciples, and he's praying for us. And the one thing he prays about is that we would be one. I think if this is Jesus' last words, this is a really important message that we need to take away today. You see, for Christians, we believe that the Trinity is one true God in three persons. Three distinct persons, but with three different roles. We might say that the Father sent the Son. The Son died on the cross, and we believe and accept that Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. One God, three persons, three roles. Now, it can be difficult to explain, to kind of get our heads around that. But I think Jesus talks about this in this passage. He's talking about the Trinity, if you like, as a community of three persons. And Jesus is saying that you and I are somehow invited into the Trinity. Did you see the words that Jesus says? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. You see, oneness and unity is about vertical to God, but also horizontal to us here today. There's a connection. But did you notice the word that he uses? That Jesus says that, Father, you are in me and I am in you, that they may also be in us. I would say that I'm friends with Danny. It would sound a bit odd, wouldn't it, if I said I was friends in Danny. That just sounds odd. But you see, what Jesus is saying, the relationship that he has with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is in each other. They are so connected that they are one in each other. There's like a mutual kind of indwelling. Do you get that? I know it's really hard to kind of get our heads around. But you see, C.S. Lewis once said this, that you may ask, if we cannot imagine a three-personal being, what is the good of talking about him? Well, there isn't any good talking about him. The thing that matters is actually being drawn into that three-person life. And that may begin any time, even tonight, if you like. What he's saying is we get drawn in. We get drawn into this Trinity. And that's what Jesus is saying, that we are in the Trinity when we accept Jesus. Because you see, the thing is that draws people in is our unity and our oneness as a church and in the Trinity. Because you see, did you see the words that Jesus says here? That the world would believe. Let me put it another way. Some of you might expect that as a Manchester City supporter, I would enjoy spending time with the Milton Keynes branch, united together over our extraordinary record-breaking season that we've had. You say, oh yeah, Steve, I can see that. That is, okay, you're united behind the team that has had a really amazing year. But we're actually all fairly similar ages as a few kids that go and involve with it. But let's just look around people today at this church. Let's look at each other. Different ages, different demographics, different social backgrounds. What's the reason that we're here tonight? It's because we're united through what Jesus has done on the cross. And that is better and just extraordinary and more amazing of gathering people together. And when we're united about coming together to worship God because of Jesus dying on the cross, there is something different and compelling. You see, Jesus did not say that the world is going to be drawn because of my great preaching. Or not, as the case may be. He's not going to say people are going to be drawn by the amazing singing and worship that we have as a church. He says that in effect, that being in unity and being one will draw them that they may believe. That they look on us as a church and say, I want to be part of that. And the world will believe. So here's the challenge, people. Can we say tonight that our oneness and our unity as a church is our most powerful tool for evangelism? Because you see, the thing is, the greatest barrier or obstacle for unity is actually disunity. It's not about the number of institutions or denominations that we have, but it's the disunity in the church. Some of you have been very kind about the shirt I'm wearing this evening. Some of you haven't been quite so kind, but actually this is my African preaching shirt. Well, actually not, it's just a normal shirt. I just happened to wear it when I was in Africa because it seemed more suitable and appropriate for the audience that I was involved with. Now, it's amazing. If you ever get to, it's a fantastic opportunity. When you preach in Africa, it's slightly different to preaching here. So this evening, when I've said something of interest that you've kind of agreed with me, I get that kind of little solemn nod, as if to say, yeah, that was good. Or a few of you might smile and say, oh, yeah, I hear that, I recognize that. In Africa, it's different. In Africa, it goes something like this. Amen! Preach it, brother! Aham! I was really, first time, it was like, really? But you know, we were so different. But if you've ever met Christians from other countries, there is something that just unites us straight off, isn't there? There's something that immediately just, there's that spirit connection that I think our spirits testify with each other. But on the morning that I was due to preach, the guy I was with said, Steve, I'll pick you up at 6:30 in the morning. So I was like, right, keen as mustard. I was like, right out there with my Bible, with my notes, 6:30. 6:30 came and went. So did 6:45, so did 7 o'clock, and I don't know, sometime after 7:15, he just kind of rocks up as if nothing's happened in the world. And I said to him, you know, what happened? He said, oh, Steve, this is Africa. This is Africa time. Just kind of get on with it and do it. So I didn't really say anything because I thought, actually, I'm going home in a few days' time. But it really got me thinking. And what Jesus is saying in these verses. And I think the thing, as much as we laugh about that situation, what Jesus is saying, in the local church, there is greater emphasis and I think more importance about keeping unity and oneness because we're spending time with each other week after week. And that gets really hard. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this, to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Those are some words, aren't they? Humble, patient, bearing with one another. And that phrase, make every effort, might also be translated giving diligence or earnestly striving. I wonder if we earnestly strive to bear with one another in love. And he talks about keep the unity of the Spirit. It's not that we have to create it. Jesus has already created it. And by sending his Holy Spirit, we have to guard and protect the unity. But I know it's not easy. As I was preparing for this, I was really challenged by actually sometimes, occasionally, the number of emails that I've sent to people in church and the leaders in this church because something has really got me about the way the chairs were left, or the way the song was sung, or a particular board at the back that was blocking this and I couldn't get in. It's like something got me inside, and I'm like, I've just got to go and tell them. I'm just going to get it off my chest. And, you know, it stays with me. It focuses my mind. And I get home, and it's like the first thing that I do. And then I was thinking of the day that somebody did something. I thought, that was really good. I'm going to email them about that and tell them that was really good. I'm going to compliment them. But something inside me thought, yeah, that might be really embarrassing. They might find, you know, so I didn't do it. So why is it I find that embarrassing about complimenting someone, yet I don't find it embarrassing when I send an email to someone that upsets them or triggers something, and just boom, the implications of that afterwards? And I know for some of you today, whether in this church or others, you have been deeply hurt by emails or comments that you've received from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know people that have been so hurt by them that they stopped coming to church, that their ministry that they were involved in has now been put down. And I know there are other people who have come to this church because they've been so hurt by other churches that they've been in. I know there are other people in this church who have been hurt, yet they've stayed here. It's really tough. And for those people who are here today and you've been really hurt, this is not a comfortable message that you're hearing. You've maybe quashed things down. The resentment and the anger and just rising those thoughts up in you now is causing you to feel really uncomfortable. I would encourage you, if you haven't done, to come and pray with me or Danny or prayer ministry, because know that God wants to come alongside you and bring you peace, as difficult as that is, to help you move on, to say He loves you. Because I think Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1-10, he says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. It's a real cry, because I know from personal experience how easy it is just to bring disunity. I pray for us today. And it's something that we have to practice and we have to work at. And I've been really conscious that Will is on sabbatical, or going on sabbatical. And I know that he has received his fair share of emails and comments from people. So I wondered if, as a church, for him, we might be prepared to try something. I would love it if we could inundate him with cards and messages of encouragement and thanks for who he is and what he's done. That he comes back in September having felt so blessed and encouraged that we are thinking about him. That the first emails he opens and the dread in his head is not, what am I coming back to? but he opens up his inbox or he opens up his post and he's just encouraged. Wouldn't that be great? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that for him? And why wouldn't we do it for one another? We've got our brother Danny, who is acting rector. And people over the next few weeks, and maybe the next few weeks and months, things are not quite going to be the way they've been. And some things will happen and we'll go, oh, why is that happening? Why is that not happening? And our temptation is to email him or say, we're going to put it right. We're going to do this. What about if we just blessed him and encouraged him and thanked him? What about if we prayed for him and prayed for the staff team, that they're united, that they're one in mind and heart and spirit, that we put our energies into doing that? I wonder how many of you have been totally overwhelmed by the amount of GDPR emails you've had in your inbox. I am absolutely. I'm so glad the 25th of May is gone. But I'm also quite glad there are some organisations that I'm thinking, actually, do you know what? I don't need to unsubscribe from them. They're just going to drift off into the ether. It's going to be fantastic. This kind of whole opting in, opting out thing. But there are quite a few organisations I do want to stay in touch with, and I hope for some of you, you've completed your church GDPR thing and you are committed to this church. Yeah, I know some of you, it's not just as easy as clicking a button though, is it? Neither is it easy just about clicking a button and unsubscribing. Do you know what? Sometimes, some days you might feel like, I'm just going to unsubscribe from church. But it's not like that. Because it's about staying committed. It takes effort and work to opt in to church. And this is going to be really painful, this next image I put up for you. For me, rather, it's very painful. But I saw this, and I thought this really fits today. I've got a big drum roll. I'm waiting for the slide. This is Manchester United's message for GDPR. It says, stay united. I would have loved it to say stay city, but that doesn't kind of work. But to stay united. And if we took the Manchester United sign off and we replaced it with a BPC logo, stay united. That's the message that I'm trying to encourage us to think about tonight, how difficult it is that we stay united around the message about what Jesus did on the cross. Because that, being united, is what is going to make a difference in this world. And not just about unity, it's not just about the oneness that we have in the Trinity, but it's also about love. And if you've got your Bibles, and you remember the hashtag lunity at the beginning, I talked to you about, it's got everything in this verse. It's got it all here. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that's the oneness, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. They are loving each other completely, probably more than we could ever comprehend. And Jesus is saying the love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father is the same love he has for you and me. And some of you need to hear that tonight, that all the things that you've been through, all the difficult hurts that you've had from other churches, Jesus and God looks at you, he's overjoyed and he says, I love you. He looks at you and he says, I made you and I'm pleased with you. Even when we've messed up, he still loves you and he still loves me. Because you see, the thing is, when we know God's love for us, we are better able to share that love with one another and the watching world. Whew. So what have I been talking about tonight? What's the takeaway message tonight? Hashtag lunacy, in summary. That our unity and our oneness is rooted in the Trinity and bound up with God's big picture of love for us and for the world. The unity around the message of Jesus, that he died for us, that he rose again, that we are one together in the Trinity, that we are to know God's love and share it with the world around us so that the world will believe. So people in a world defined by conflict, with broken relationships, political division, dysfunctional families, fractured communities, hashtag lunacy in our church, as modeled in the Trinity, is a sign that God is at work. And despite our human efforts, because you see, Jesus is praying for it. Jesus is praying for us. And he's still praying for us. So I pray that we are a church that is an answer to Jesus' prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Maybe some of us with pain, with hurt. Maybe for some of us it's just realizing and recognizing and reminding ourselves that, God, you love us. But Lord, we thank you that you call us to be one. Despite our differences, we are united round what you have done on the cross, that you died for us, you stretched out your arms because you loved us, to draw us back into unity. Lord, I pray tonight that this won't just be words that we've heard, but you will call us, you will make us act. That we will be a prayer that is committed, a church that is committed to praying for unity, for oneness. That we would encourage one another. That, Lord, through our unity, through our oneness as a church, that this world would believe, this town would believe that Jesus has been sent, that Jesus loves them. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who listens and hears and answers our prayer. And our cry and our heart goes out to you tonight. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.